जय राधा माधव जय कुञ्जाबिहारी जय राधा माधव जय कुञ्जाबिहारी गोपी जन बल्लभ जय गिरिवरधारी जय गिरिवरधारी गोपी जन बल्लभ जय गिरिवरधारी जय गिरिवरधारी जय राधा माधव जय कुञ्जाबिहारी जशोर नंदन व्रज जन रंजन जशोर नंदन व्रज जन रंजन जयशोर नंदन व्रज जन रंजन जयशोर नंदन व्रज जन रंजन जमुना थीरा वनचारी जमुना थीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव जय कुञ्जाबिहारी जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिब्रजकाचार्य स्तुतरस्तुत श्री श्रीमारिस दवांग्रेश एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की ISKCON founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda ki, Anam Acharya Srila Haridas Thakura ki, Prem Segaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhar Shivas Adi Gaura Bhaktivrinda ki, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Goga Prabhina Shamakunda Radha Kundigiri Govardhana ki, Sri Vrindavan Dhamma ki, Sri Mayapur Dhamma ki, Ganga Mai ki, Jamuna Mai ki, Bhakti Devi ki, Tulasi Devi ke, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ke, Jainatai Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Yatra nitya vayo rupa shyama viraja vasasa prajante rupavan naryo yarchirbhir eva vahanayaha Yatra nitya vayorupa Shyama virajavasaha Virajavasaha Vrajante rupavanaryo Yarchir bhir iva vahnaya Yatra nitya vayorupas Shyama virajavasasa Brajante rupavanaryo Yarchir bir iva vahnaya Yatra, in that city, nitya-vaya rupaha, who are ever beautiful and young, shyamaha, possessing the quality of shyama, virajavasasa, always dressed with clean garments, Brajante, glitter, rupavat, well decorated, Naryaha, women, he, certainly, Archirbhi, with many flames,
Iva, like, Vahnaya, fires.
Translation. Everlastingly beautiful and young women who are decorated, who are dressed with clean garments, glittered in the city like fires with flames. They all possessed the quality of Shyama. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives a hint of the quality of the Shyama women. Sita kale bhaved ushna, ushma kale shushi talaha, stanao shuka tinao vasham avasam tashyama parikir titaha. A woman whose body is very warm during the winter and cool during the summer, and who generally has very firm breasts, is called Shyama. So the reason that the living entity is coming into the material world, into the material phenomena here, is because of the desire to enjoy Krishna's energy, right? So that enjoyment principle of trying to be in that position where it's about your enjoyment, then that takes on the masculine principle, the masculine mentality. And what one's trying to enjoy, or the Lord's energy, that's the feminine. So the whole principle of the material world is this attraction for, attachment to, the interaction between man and woman. That's the shackles. This is means we see, you know, we have experience or heard about, you know, the penal system in this material world, where you have a jail, some kind of a cell, you know, a door, you know, locked up, a little dinky window to look out of, maybe, you know, that kind of a thing. And that's what keeps one inside. If one can get outside of that, one's outside the system and then goes back into the main system. No? It's simply that. But we see the material world, even though seemingly there's no jail cell as such, everyone is bound by this desire for sense gratification. That just keeps people here. You don't have to worry that they'll try to get out. They'll always stay because of this principle. So it's the perfect prison. So that's why we see is that so much of the time it talks about giving up sense gratification. Now, whether we take that as a very major element or not, we can understand that it is. That is the whole point, is that when we see Krishna's energy separate from Krishna, that's sense gratification. And when we see Krishna's energy in connection with pleasing Krishna or his senses, that's called devotional service. The form doesn't change, doesn't need to change, at least if you're using a pious form. Right? You know, if you eat, you know, snails for breakfast, you might have to change the form that you're using for worship of the Lord. But if you're using a pious or recommended form, then there's no need of change. But what changes is why is it being done? Is it being done for Krishna? Is it being done for ourselves? That's the point. Let's say we're cooking a nice preparation. It's a you know, bona fide preparation. And so then, are we cooking it for ourselves? That's sense gratification. We're cooking it for Krishna. That's devotional service. That's the difference. It's the mentality. It's not the mechanics of it. So that's the whole point, is that when it says you don't have to change anything, means you don't have to change the forms of action that produce results in connection with one's occupation or how you say, family situation. It's a matter of who's it being done for. That's the difference. It's that simple. We make it very complicated. Oh, you have to be austere, you have to control the senses, all this and that, but we're looking at it at the secondary aspect. We're not looking at the primary. The primary is, if you're being austere, okay, let's say we're controlling the senses. So now, if I don't engage the senses in anything, is that devotional service? No. I'm not doing any nonsense. Right? So, okay, that's good. And let's say, but now am I doing the duties with my senses that I should be doing? If not, then they may not be vikarma or sinful. It's akarma, means you're not doing anything properly. You're not doing anything. So it's just, you know, nothingness. How you say? Nebbishness, I guess you could say. Then you have piety, what the Shastra recommends. But now you're doing that. Why are you doing that? If it's to please Krishna, it's devotion. And if it's not, it's just pious. So this idea that we're focusing on pious activities and being nice and being good, because we have to remember the background from where we're from is not necessarily nice or good. So sometimes we talk about, you know, improving the quality of society, of the community, and all these things. And which is appropriate, since the Shastras recommend that you live a proper pious lifestyle. But that piety is only worthwhile if it's connected to Krishna. Otherwise, why do the Acharyas not glorify the smarter Brahmins? Because all the things that we're saying, be good, be nice, community, and all that, they're already doing that. But we're saying there's a shortage there. What's the shortage? It's not about Krishna. So we have to be very, very careful. We don't try to introduce these higher qualities in society without Krishna. Because just because everybody's nice and gets along, and yes, we have a community spirit, and hey, we even have a few things to help out each other in the community, it's still purely mundane. I mean, purely. Because the purpose, unless it's about pleasing Krishna, and that's not just saying, yeah, of course it's for Krishna. Now let's get down to the business of our, you understand? Because the point is it's about the principle that's the main. The residents of the spiritual world spend all day talking about Krishna, not about the activity that they do. Right? Things are being managed there. Right? Now let us say Krishna's going out with 900,000 cows. That just happens just on its own, or there's some management going on? Right? And that's his cows. Then there's unlimited cowherd boys are coming out with all their cows. Some management is happening here. But do we ever hear them talking about the management when they all sit around and the guys get into, you know, talk shop and yeah, you know about the cows and how do you keep your cows in line and yeah, like, no, they always talk about Krishna. In other words, this secondary aspect that we're so fooled into thinking is so important is not important. It's necessary, but that doesn't mean it's important. Important is Krishna. Just like, let's say, I'm managing a festival. The festival is what's important. The management is so that I can accomplish that. But it's not that, oh, because of the management only we have the festival. Yeah, but then the guy who does the collection, who's doing no management and not taking part in the festival other than coming up and being the big guy, you can say, without my money, you're doing nothing. Right? And then the other guys, how you'll have a festival unless I sat there and decorated, stayed up all night, did all this. So you just drop it down from the Brahminical to the Kshatriya, to the Vaishya, to the Shudra, and you can just keep going. You understand? That's the thing, is that we'll make it important. But that's us. The reality is that Krishna's important. So all these things, we just engage in Krishna's service. We can cook, we can manage, we can sing, whatever it is, it only becomes perfect because of its connection to Krishna. That's it. Otherwise, it has no value. In the modern context, no. You have knowledge, you have skills, you can manage, you can do this and that, you're successful, then everything's perfect. But actually, is it? Because they're not satisfied. And why not? Because it doesn't address the soul. So unless the activities you're doing address the soul, they're actually a waste of time. You know, it may seem like a great waste of time, really doing something, really happening, but, you know, that's just what you're supposed to do. I remember once I was sitting with, Imrat Khan's son. He was teaching a class in music. His father's quite a well-known musician. And I went to ask him some questions. And one of his senior students had come, you know, sat down. It was time for his lesson. And so he was They were practicing some particular raga, and he was really going through the, not the raga itself, but the practices for it, the fingering for it. You know, going through the you know, the scale. And he was doing it very well, very fast, moving from string to string and all that, because that's hard to do. Up and down one string, okay, but to be able to move through the strings, that's quite difficult. And he was doing it really well and really fast, and it was really happening and on beat and all that. And he's like really excited about it. And he's going, wow, this is happening. You know? And the teacher, he was getting distracted from what I was talking about, because I was talking about things and, you know, about the higher elements of the music and the things behind it and the culture and everything like that. And that he couldn't keep his attention because he was just watching what the student was doing. And then and then go back. At one point he just said, I gotta go. But the point is those scales, even though they're saying, wow, this is all happening and it's all good and all this, but the scales aren't what you're going to play when you play the music. They are the background for it. If you can't do the scales, how you play the raga. But it's the raga, it's the mood, it's all that that's important. So what we were discussing, that was actually more important than those scales. Because if you don't understand that, how do you know what's going on? What to do with it? Just like I know how to drive, but if I don't know where to drive to, yeah, I can drive. I can check the gears and, wow, hey, I'm double clutching here. And whoa, check it out. But where are you going? Why, we have to go somewhere? We're driving. It's all happening. So we have to be very, very careful of that. Otherwise, we'll take whatever we're doing and put it into that mode, because that's why we're here in the material world, is for this secondary absorption. The spiritual world, everyone in the spiritual world is absorbed in the primary. The secondary is only useful how much it supports the primary. Right? So then, but for the material world, it's all about the secondary. And because I'm doing the secondary, that makes a devotional service. You can go through a meeting and the whole time no one will mention Krishna. Because it's the meeting, it's the things. And it's not even that you have to do anything, just that you're meeting. That's the whole thing. So at least before it was, okay, I forget about Krishna, I just manage, and I was practically managing. Now we just have a meeting and do no management, and wow, it's solid, and wow, we had a great meeting, and this is progressive, and it's happening, and you know, just you can just feel it, the whole world, and it's, you know, like that. That's why we're here. Right? That's why we're here, is because we see the secondary and not what the secondary's for. You know, it's just like an enthusiast. You know, you go to the ski resort, he's totally into his outfit and his skis and his boots. He's got all the top stuff and this and that, and he's even better than most of the better skiers there. And, you know, he's totally, you know, he sees friends, and that's all they talk about. But the skiing, that they can't do very good. Well, the other guys just talk about the skiing. You understand? So this is the difference between the material world and the spiritual world, is where is the focus? Not that we don't know about the secondary and don't see that it goes nicely, but when the focus is just on that, we're actually missing the point. But perfection of devotional service is, because it ultimately is for Krishna, we'll get benefit. It is devotional service. It is devotional service. But everyone's looking for the key, the secret, you know, what's the trick? This is the trick. It's about Krishna. That's the trick. You want to know the trick? That's it. It's about Krishna. We'll go, oh, but I learned that the first day I bumped into devotees. And yeah, that's why you learned it the first day, because it's the most important. And then as you go and, oh, I'm advancing and all that, because all this technical stuff. No, that's just technical expansion. It's a descending process. The more technical it goes, the farther away it is. You have to remember that. The principle is what's close to Krishna, and the technical is what goes away. The Icha Shakti is what's pleasing Krishna's desire. That's the Hladini. And then the Kriya and Jnana, then they're the ones that arrange that. In other words, Balaram and Yogamaya are arranging all the facilities and place and everything for the pastimes, but it's the pastimes between Krishna and the devotees that's the excellent part. The others is important. Yes, but it's only important as a servant. Otherwise, if that was important, wouldn't Balaram be the main one? And Krishna, he's the younger brother, he'd be the side dish, you know? No, but Balaram is known as the supreme personality of servitor Godhead because it's only there as service. The main thing is the other. So when you're doing that, like, so Balaram's managing the whole cosmos, but he keeps the focus on Krishna. Does that make sense? So that's the point. If you're engaged in your area, then you can do both. Because what fits your nature, you can do without having to think about it. Now, it means, of course, you thought, but what I'm meaning is it's not a distraction. It's natural. But it has to be about what will please Krishna. How to cook to please this Krishna, or manage to please Krishna, or sing to please Krishna. It's an interesting thing I read the other day. I think it was Bhaktivinoda Thakur was saying, the reason we use nice melodies when we do kirtan is because it attracts Krishna. You know, we're singing his name and we're trying to do it in a very nice way. So the tune's for Krishna, not for, wow, check out the new tune. You know? Right? Does that make sense? So that's what we have to be careful, is that it's about Krishna. Then it becomes very special. So here then, so that was the intro. So here we see is that the heavenly planets, now why are the heavenly planets heavenly? Because the individuals that are there, they qualify themselves because they follow the recommendation of the scriptures. Right? No one's in the heavenly planets because they do whatever they want. They're in the heavenly planets because they regulate their life in line with the scriptures. And the better they do that, the more the focus, rather than just the ritual, but it's also their emotion, their qualities, their focus. The higher that is, the higher they move up on the, you know, the universal scale. So depending what planetary system there is, you can tell what's the mood. And so heavenly means that it's pious and they accept the position of Vishnu. And that they're servants of Vishnu. Whether they always remember that or not is another thing, but at least they accept that. And when they're reminded of it, they're quite comfortable with it. While the demons, you see, then from our place it goes the other way, is they want more and more material facilities. And so therefore, if they're willing to be pious about it, following scripture, as we see here Bali Maharaj is, he's pleasing the Brahmins, he's doing things, then he gets so much benefit. But they're not interested in the Supreme Lord. That's the difference. So from the Bhumandala, what's above, they accept the supremacy of the Lord and they do everything in connection to Vishnu. And what's below means they don't really worry about it, about Vishnu. They'll follow the rules, and then the farther you go down, they don't follow the rules. So, and here's because they follow, then they get facilities that are closer to the original facilities. Right? You do pious work, you follow God's law, you get a result according to God's law. The proper, more proper you follow the law, the better the material result, because that's the whole point of the secondary, is I perform with knowledge and skill, I perform the activity, and with that I get a specific result. The better the knowledge, the better the application, the better the result. It's a straightforward thing. You don't have studies that show that people with absolutely no knowledge and no skill and all that end up with the best results when it comes to any you know, mechanical activity. No. The more you know, the more you've practiced, the better you are at, the better the result you get. That's just how it works. Because it's mechanical. So they are performing this, you get the better result because it's in line with the Shastra. Shastra is coming from Krishna. It's his breathing. He follows it. That's what they do. The spiritual world, they all practice these activities. It's not based on Shastra as such that is Vaidhi Bhakti. It's based on what pleases Krishna, and that's the Vedic culture. That's the Shastra. And so because of that, the facilities get greater and greater and greater. And so here we've come up to the heavenly planets where Indra is. Now we have to know is above that, then you have the Prajapatis and that, you have Brahmaloka. So the facilities there are even better than these. But just by those who are fruitive in their endeavor, this is as good as it gets. It won't get better than this. Now if you're willing to be detached, in the performance of your activities. And not be attached, so it's not fruitive. There's that element of Naishkara. Then you can get to the Mahajana Tapa and Satya Lokas. Right? But it's only with pure bhakti, then you get to the spiritual world. But as you go, it gets better and better. So here we see there's a glimpse of just the quality of the how beautiful the women are. Because as we mentioned in the beginning, that's why everyone's in the material world, to enjoy women. Right? So to either enjoy women or to enjoy being enjoyed. That's the whole principle. Because it's all about women. So whether it's men or women, both men and women are trying to enjoy women. That's all. It's not something else. Right? So, in other words, the woman is enjoying the man, which is made out of material energy. So there's the secondary thing. So it's not actually about Krishna or the soul or that. So it's the same principle. You understand? So it, technically, by tattva, whether one's a man or a woman, you're still trying to enjoy the external material facilities that the other offers. So you still have that idea of the Purusha and Prakriti. I'm the enjoyer and the other is the enjoy. Then you look at it culturally, then there's the mentality of wanting to enjoy and wanting to be enjoyed. Like that. So you take all that and ends up with the women. So heavenly planets means the women. If there was just heavenly planets and there were only men, then would they be dressed up and cutting the profile and doing all the things they do? No, they wouldn't care. Like that. Tapaloka, that's for, right? Tapaloka is just brahmacharis, like that. No women, no management, no social structure. They come together now and again to discuss about the absolute truth. And then after that, they all disappear. It means literally, they don't walk off back to their ashrams. They just disappear and go back to their ashrams because they're all yogis. Right? So that's what you'll have there. And it's higher position. But because it's about enjoying, then there has to be women. So that's one of the things that's described, how nice the place is, how the roads are, the gates, the gardens, all this. And then, of course, the pinnacle of that means what's the quality of the women. So that's how you define how sophisticated the society is. Right? Because that's what is going on. So social structure means the women. So the level that they're functioning at, that's the level of your society's functioning. How sophisticated, how developed, and all that. That's how you tell. So here they're pointing out is that they're very, very high quality in their facilities. So here is they're pointing out the quality of that of Shama. Well, here first is that everlasting, beautiful, youthful. Because as long as they're there, they'll always look, have that youthfulness. They'll always be bright. Not like here where things start off and things start to go down a bit. Everything fades. There, even they have a garland, it doesn't fade. That's how Indra knows his time is up when his garland starts to fade. As soon as he notices his garland fades, all he has to do is look up and he sees the new Indra walking in. Right? It's just, it happens like that. So nothing fades there. So everyone's, you know, has that everlastingly, not eternal, everlastingly means as long as they're there. Right? You know, they lived happily ever after. How long is that? Yeah, for the next, you know, 30 years until the plague comes along and they all died or something, you know, like that. But we don't get into that because, you know, it doesn't work out so good. Bedtime stories, yeah, you know. So, like that. And they're dressed with clean garments. Always clean, because that's the thing. Because the element of the mind is goodness. Mind came from goodness. And so therefore the mind like needs to be situated in goodness. So the feminine nature is based on the mind. Right? The emotions, accepting and rejecting. Therefore you get the, Rupa Goswami defines contrariness, elusiveness, and shyness. So we see that those come from that. It's the mind. Like that. And so if you don't have the mind situated in goodness, one won't be comfortable. The mind will be disturbed. And it's not as nice. Therefore, they're always in clean garments. It just sets the perfect atmosphere. So woman's in clean garments, always, then you consider that very nice. Now a guy's been at work and he's dirty and all that. And he's like, it's okay. As long as he can take a shower and put on some clean clothes. Right? So when we say you clean up nicely, generally that means the men, not so much the women. Right? You know, unless it's a farm girl or something, okay, then it's there. But once she's cleaned up, you never see her funky again for the rest of the time, right? So
The whole idea is that the cleanliness is very important in the heavenly planets. That situation, the mode of goodness. And so then the women, they follow that and they demand that. As we see, it was Urvasi with the king. She says, I'll only eat food in the mode of goodness. He says, you can't cook for me in oil. Like, you know, it has to be ghee. Because that's just proper goodness. Because oil actually brings out passion. It creates lust and other things like that. Right? Does that make sense? Like, Italians are known for being very romantic. And do they eat ghee or do they eat oil? So it's just, that's just how it works. So she would only deal in that sattvic kind of way. Yeah, okay. And so, yeah. Then glittering in the city like fires with flames. So you have a fire, there's smoke, fire, there's cold. No, but with flames. The flames, then they're glittering. That's the brightness. So there's no smoke, it's actually burning nicely. And the flickering, like that kind of thing. So that creates the glitter. So it's always moving, always changing, always. So whatever they're doing, it's always different, always variety. Right? Does that make sense? You know, so that's uniqueness there. You don't see that they're glum and feeling bad, and you know the other girls, and you know, in their clique, then said something stupid about me, and you know, we're not talking high school here. You know, we're talking that they all are in that very nice state. Because that's the karma. That's what they're there. So they're like that. The men then can reciprocate with that. So it all goes nice. Not that the men know how to deal also. Otherwise they wouldn't be there. Yeah. And so like this, then you have that nice environment, nice energy and everything. Because that's the distracting. That's the secondary aspect. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the thing. The brightness, the variety, that chirpiness, that, how you say, the sophistication, the cleanliness, the youthfulness, the energy that comes from that, that it's always there, it's not getting less. You know, they don't have bad hair days. That's one of the advantages of the heavenly planet, no bad hair days. Right? So everything goes very nice. So that's the whole point, is that why are people there? Because they want to enjoy that. Right? The women in the spiritual world, even more beautiful than this. But that's the problem. If you want to enjoy that, that's why you're here. Well, in the spiritual world, they don't want to enjoy that. You see so many times Krishna's with the gopis and his confidential friends are there. And they're just there and take part. They help however they can. They're not getting distracted and all that. And, you know, after then when they walk off with Krishna, they go, wow, that was heavy. You know, they don't talk about it like that. They're not doing that because they don't see the need for sense gratification. Because it's just about pleasing Krishna. So the gopis please Krishna through the conjugal rasa, and the cowherd boys through the friendship rasa. So an intimate friend is privy to your conjugal relationships. So it's cool. It's all part of the rasa. You understand? So they're not distracted by this, though the girls in the spiritual are even more than this. This quality is there. This is a spiritual quality. Means like that, but it's only manifest on the material platform. So how good they are is not as, you know, much as there is there, because the feminine nature, the quality, in other words, the beautifulness, the youthfulness, the, you know, all these things, the cleanliness, because cleanliness is the purity that it's about Krishna. Here they're clean means it's clean clothes. But the mentality that I'm the enjoyer is not clean. So they can't be as beautiful. Right? Because a girl's beauty is by the mentality she has. It's not how she looks or what she's wearing. It's generally if she's looking good and she's wearing something good, she's happy, so she puts out the energy. She looks attractive. Right? But that's not actually what's happening, because all you have to do is you have the runway, the girls are looking good, but behind that wall there, they don't look good. They really don't. They're really snarky and this, and nothing's right and this and that. But they're not being paid for being snarky. They're being paid to be smiling. So when they walk down the runway, they look good. So they put out the energy. That's why they're a model. They can put out on demand. Right? Well, general girls can't do that, because when they feel good, then they put out the energy. And when they don't, they don't. So, does that make any sense? Yeah. So in other words, it's the mentality that is there that actually creates the beauty. So as we see is that here they're pious, so they're situated in goodness. That'll be more beautiful than someone in passion and ignorance. But someone in pure goodness will be even more beautiful than that. And someone in pure unalloyed goodness will be the most beautiful. In other words, the gopis in Braj. So that's the whole point. If we want to enjoy that beauty, then we'll be here. And if we understand that all this beauty, all these nice things are for Krishna, then where's the problem? Then there's no problem. So that facility being there is not a problem. Yeah. Does that make sense? Right? So that's the general quality. And then they specifically all possess the quality of Shama. That's something you see also. It always mentions about the residents of the spiritual world. They all have this. So it's just like when it's cold out, if your body's warm, and when it's warm out, your body's cool, then that's very nice. But what is that nice means in that interaction and all that? But who's interacting? Right? So Krishna's interacting for his pleasure. Everyone else is interacting, and it's just as service, and what's going to be connected with service. Like the residents of Vaikuntha, they're flying in their airplanes with their wives, and their wives are, you know, have all these qualities and more. And as it says, as they're, you know, in their airplanes, they're crowded. It means that it's not that he's sitting here and she's sitting over there. They're you know, they're actually physically touching each other. They're crowded into the plane. Like that. I guess there's so many planes they have, there's a size restriction otherwise, you know, whatever. So but they're not disturbed. They're both just talking about Lord Vishnu and all the service and all the nice things and his great qualities and all that. So they're in the nicest position. Right? So the facilities that they're, that the physical bodies they have in that are the nicest of them. But they're not distracted by them. They're not distracted but by these quality of Shama. Does that make sense? So all these things would be there. But it just adds to the feminine beauty. That's all. It just creates the beauty. So the feminineness is for Krishna's enjoyment. So as soon as we catch that femininity is for Krishna's pleasure, not for ours, that's how you get out of here. And if we anytime think the feminine is for us, either in the positive that, you know, as a grihastha or a renunciate, oh, that's all nonsense, you know. Like this kind of thing. It's either way, it's about, it's a value. That because, oh, this is all Maya, but the problem is it's Maya. Why? Because it can be enjoyed. Rather than this can be engaged in Krishna's service. And since it's not my duty within my confines, let's say as a brahmacharya, that, to engage women in service, therefore it's not my job. So I don't worry about it. So I don't have any attraction to the women. I don't have any repulsion to the women. Or the grihasthas, they engage their own wives. They don't have to engage others. So there's no attraction or repulsion. It's just that you're dealing in your service. You're seeing the energy. You're seeing the femininity. And it's seen in relationship to Krishna. Does this make sense? So you can see his devotional service already includes the piety and how to properly deal. It already includes the renunciation or the detachment, but it's done in such a pleasant, balanced way. So it's not a, you know, you don't have a moralist, you don't have a, you know, someone who's just so renounced and so dry, you know, or someone who's, you know, moralist who's so political. It's just perfectly balanced. It's just what pleases Krishna. Does this make sense? So that's the whole point when Prabhupada says it's already included. It is. But there's a science to explain how it's included. Does that make sense? So these girls are this beautiful because of the piety. Now, how much they have to maintain the piety to stay within this. So they can't just become go outside of this. They have to maintain their position in following the scriptures and mode of goodness. But we remember, goodness means there's a touch of passion and ignorance. But the form of it is goodness. Mentality will still have some passion and ignorance in it. Pure goodness means the form is goodness and the mentality is goodness. Does that make sense? That's the difference. So they can be following the rules and still it's about enjoyment. So then this is they're following the rules, they get this facility. But it will keep them here. So unless you see whatever facility you have in connection to Krishna, it's a stumbling block. And so then of stumbling blocks, then the feminine beauty is the greatest of them. Because from there, everything else comes, right? Means if there's no woman, you don't need money. You don't need a big fancy house. You don't need any of that. Technically, you can just, you're fine. Just walk down the road, catch the bus. You're cool. Does that make sense? You know, that's it. You're good. You know, Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay, so then the principle is that here it's so great and all that, and Bali Maharaj and the demons, because they're materialists, then naturally they want all this facility. And at the same time as Indra, because of his attachments, he doesn't want to lose it. So now we're finding out. So here it comes down to who gets this, it's who's the most pious. But Indra, because he's insulted his guru, is going to lose it. And Bali Maharaj, because he respects his gurus and he follows their instructions, therefore he's going to gain it. But the problem still comes is both of them still have that sense to enjoy. Therefore, then there's a problem. That's what you see. Therein lies the rub, right? So any questions or comments on this? Yes. Is that mic? That mic thingy.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, from the heavenly planets, can they go back to Godhead?
Can they go back to Godhead? It means technically they could, but they generally never do. So we see is that even when the demigods take up that devotional service of surrender to Krishna, they do that here. Because otherwise Krishna visited the heavenly planets with Satyabhama, and because they, you know, took the Parijata tree, then they fought with him. So the problem is because they're into their sense gratification, they forget about Krishna's position. When they're reminded, then yes. You know, it's just like a devotee will be getting into something and then you ask him something about Krishna. Oh yeah, then they remember. So they're like that. They're neophyte devotees. Just that they're pious neophyte devotees, so then they go there. So devotional service is the greatest piety, so if you want fruitive, then devotional service to get you the heavenly planets way quicker than anything else. But the point is they'll still, just like you see here, you know, people that can be very political and this and that and worried about this and that, and you know what I'm saying? In the heavenly planets, it's the same thing, just they have better facility. Instead of in a, you know, two-bedroom flat, you know, then you have this big palace. But it's still going to be the same thing. You know, who does that one think they are? You know, they're so special. You know, it's the same stuff. You know what I'm saying? That's the point. So it's not that you get out, it's not any better there. It's the same. So that's why we're not interested in the heavenly planets, because even though technically anyone, anywhere could take up the chanting, because if Bali Maharaj on the lower planets can do it, why can't they do it on the higher planets? But the tendency is they won't. They'll know about the Lord. They accept the Lord, but it's they get distracted by their duties and their sense gratification, the facilities, the prestige, the position, you know, the wealth, all these different things. You know, the good physical health. You know, it's like sometimes you see people start becoming a little more Krishna conscious when their health goes like that. Could you imagine that you're, you know, everlastingly 16 years old, youthful, perfect health, and you look really great? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So whatever you got here, nothing compared to there. You know, so does that make sense? So how you, one wouldn't be distracted. So even though one could, one generally doesn't. That's why it's said that here is the perfect place. Because you have that balance of it's nice, it's not nice. You have facility, but not so much. And so you can't become too proud about things, but at the same time, it's not that as bad as it is on other places. Is that so? Yeah. Yes. Oh.
Maharaj, in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, when he was attacking the Yakshas,
He was attacking the Yakshas, okay.
And he had already attained Prema, according to the purports, but he becomes overcome by anger. And, you know, it's explained that he's doing his duty, but he gets carried, becomes overcome by Maya. How do we understand this?
How do we understand this? Is that if you remember Krishna, then everything goes really well, and if you don't, it doesn't. The point is everything's Krishna. So if we see whatever we're doing in connection to Krishna, then it all goes very nicely. That's how it works. The point is that who's going to be able to teach means this: if I use a regular example, do we take it very seriously? Not so much. We have to use an extreme example. Why? Because is it a common phrase that no one understands me, or no one's suffering like I do, or no one's in the position that I'm in? Right? Is that like every third sentence, you know, like that? So we see as the Vedic examples then are so extreme that no one, I mean absolutely no one, can claim that they're even anywhere near that. Right? It's just like, okay, you have problem with family members. Okay? Do you have problem, or you have 100 cousin brothers trying to kill you? 100. And then they got friends? You know what I'm saying? Okay, you have your business, you had your partner, and then he cheats you and you lose your business. You know, or you had that nice house and all that, and you lose that. Anybody can say they had unrivaled sovereignty as an emperor of the whole world, all seven oceans, all seven continents, and then they lost that? Can anyone say that? No. So therefore, these examples have to be very, very extreme. Otherwise, we'll, by our false ego, say, it doesn't apply to me. Right? And so, who can do those things? Can the karmis? No, only the devotees. So that's why then it's arranged with the devotees. Arjuna is a pure devotee, and then, you know, he has that problem. So it's a yoga maya, we can understand. But the point is the principle that's there applies to us. Because we may be doing service for Krishna, but in that, the anger becomes too much, and it becomes destructive beyond just what needs to be done, then it's you can't call it, you can't say that that's quality service anymore. It's how much is necessary. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing. It's the right amount. So you have to show that. So only the devotees can deal with this very extreme kind of things. You know, it's like his brother is killed unlawfully. He has the power to chastise these yakshas like that. And then he goes there. They come to do battle. They don't come out and say, you know, sorry, we didn't mean to kill your brother. You know, we thought it was somebody else and all that. And, you know, we were having a Halloween party, so we thought it was just one of our friends dressed up, you know, so like that. No, it's not that. They come out to fight, and he has the prowess to do, and they're wrong. So now in the modern day where it's about all about justice and all that, what would people do nowadays? You understand? So the extremity that they would go is so far beyond what the Shastras mention and what's necessary that you have to have examples like this to check that. Otherwise, people think morality and justice is the cat's meow. I mean, literally, that's what's going to make devotional service great. It's important to use because the devotee has all good qualities, but if we think it's the good qualities makes devotional service, we've totally missed the point. That's where Shrama Edahi Kevalam comes in. Is that all these things? In other words, I have knowledge, I have the ability to apply it, now I have to have particular qualities also to use. But unless all that's about Krishna, so just because the qualities, the morality and justice is more subtle than the gross skill and knowledge, it doesn't mean that that's what makes devotional service. No, devotional service is independent. That's why if you perform devotional service, you'll gain all the qualities. So in other words, if we want to develop good qualities, it's then what devotional, how to be engaged in devotional service, because that's the only way to gain it. But if we target the quality, okay, I can develop it like this, it's not going to happen. Literally not. We don't have the piety. Otherwise, we'd already be doing it. Right? The subtlety between one life and the next on the material platform is very subtle, it's very less in going up. Down you can go quite quickly, as however you like. But up it's very slow. That's why it says thousands of lifetimes. Right? You know, it's like Prabhupada mentioned, I think it was Ravi Shankar, he's been playing sitar for 1,000 lifetimes. So now what he was as a kid and then what he was as an adult, if you took that and put that in an arc for 1,000 lifetimes, it'd be ridiculous. So we can understand it's not that. what he was playing now is just basically a little bit better than what he was playing in the last life. You know, and you go back 1,000 lifetimes, yeah, he didn't know anything about music. Does that make sense? So this idea that we're going to make the society nice and the community nice by introducing all these good qualities, we don't have the piety. We don't have the karma. Otherwise, we'd already be doing it. Why do we have to introduce it? We'd be doing it. You know, like if you go to, any aristocratic, society within a particular country or area, they already have those qualities, right? They may be superficial because they know it gets things done. But they can already do that. You're sitting there saying all kinds of stupid stuff and all that and making insults, and they sit there very quietly and listen. And how do they do that? Because they're weak and all that? No, because they're way stronger than you. And they can control themselves. They'll wait till you finish. And then will they start yelling and screaming? No. They'll say one sentence that sums it all up and completely, obliterates you. That takes so much intelligence, so much sense control, so much patience, so much determination, focus, all these good qualities that we're saying. We don't have them. Otherwise, we'd already be doing it. So, then where are we going to get them? Only from devotional service. So that's the whole thing, this idea that we can work with the secondary on its own and get success is totally bogus. I mean totally. Like that. The only way we're going to get this benefit is by chanting Hare Krishna, by engaging in devotional service, trying to please Krishna. Then all these facilities are there naturally. They're just the natural form that comes along with the piety of devotional service. But to try to focus on the piety itself and all that, that one is becoming purified. To notice that, that's good. But then to say that this is how we're going to, this we need this, yes, we need devotional service. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said the only thing lacking in the material world is Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, nice people, great society, all that's all going on. And then they die. And then they're gone. And then they become something else. You know, a cuddly koala bear or something, Cute, it's like... Right? You never hear of in-house fighting and wars in the koala community. Right, It's like that. Does that make sense? Like that. Also, penguins, I think, also, they're not cute and cuddly, right? So, you don't hear any wars going on, so... Like that. They have all these things. Penguins, it's not that I'm bigger, therefore I stand in the center of the circle and the smaller ones sit outside and freeze. They sit there. They have a system. There's hundreds or thousands of them. And they have this system where they keep, every now and again they shuffle in. And that takes them in until they're in the very core of all the penguins. So it's the warmest. And then they start going to the outside again. And so that's how they, weather blizzards and stuff like that. They just all sit together like that. So, did they have to have a meeting? Did they have, someone came up with this, someone was championing this and that? No, they just do it automatically. So that's the thing. Everybody has their qualities according to their background. So you can only change that by devotional service, right? What's his name? Shivananda Sen, right? His dog is a dog. And it's going to be a dog. But because of having the mercy of the pure devotee, and therefore getting the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, then as a dog, he chants Hare Krishna and goes back to Godhead. So that's the whole point. We should take inspiration there. So when Prabhupada says, even a dog can do it, that's our shot. Like that. Because we have to remember, dogs can be nice, but they're not necessarily cultured. Loyal, these kind of things. So we have to see is that if we want to go beyond our conditioning, it's only through devotional service. So the more we fall, in other words, what does it say? It's that the Shastra says how you should behave. Manu says what are the qualities. In 7th Canto, when Narad Muni is talking to Yudhishthira Maharaj and explaining Varanashram, he gives 30 qualities necessary for Varanashram. Now in his explanation, 9 of those are the 9 processes of devotion. So that means 21 of them are, general good qualities. But those come because of the devotion. So either you have them from piety or you develop them because of that. You're aware of them, so when the opportunity comes to express it, you see its value in Krishna consciousness, so you do. But if you think I can cultivate them separately, it's like, since when can you do that? Shastra says, you have this guy, he's speaking Sanskrit, dressed, you know, pukka like a Brahmin, you know, speaking so nicely and all that. And that, how do you tell who he is? And he says, simply you have to make him angry. Then you can tell, is he actually an Aryan or is he a Mlecha or a Yavana? Because at that moment, then you'll see all the bad qualities come out. You can anger them easily. You can do that. These others, you can't. So we're talking about, you know, the stock we're working with isn't so fabulous. So for us, devotional service, that will create our good fortune. Otherwise, Kali Yuga, Manda Sumanda Matayo Manda Bhagya, it means it's, you know, it doesn't mean everybody but me. And even if it does mean everybody but me, everybody else has to follow devotional service to get the good qualities. So therefore, what's the use of me preaching just good qualities? Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is that it's this is the process. That's why Prabhupada emphasizes it so much. And these other things, it's not that you can't use them and get great advantage. But if you don't see them in connection with devotional service, it's the same distraction that on the heavenly planets they have with these girls. You know? Just that they got more piety. You know? And I want to enjoy managing or, you know, being a, what do you call it? What are they called? SJW? Is that what you say? No one knows? Wow. Fabulous. I love that. Okay. SJW, social justice warrior. You know, they go out there and all rah rah, like that, yeah. So, I don't even remember where I was. I was just so impressed that these things are fading away. Like the other day I was talking to somebody and making a comment about political correctness. You know, and they were American, you know, and, you know, had, you know, probably in their mid-20s or something. And they looked at me and said, what's that? And I thought, yes. Progress. Like that. So does that make sense? So we have to look at it, what's the example? Not that how they got there, because the point is if you look at that, oh, how could he get into that? But then somebody comes to him and says, don't do that, and he drops it on the spot and never does it again. So if we're going to go, oh, but he did like that, so how can I follow these authorities? Can you do what they do when you're told this is wrong? Can you correct yourself on the spot? And if you can't, then you can take advantage of the example. Like that. So, okay? Okay.
Can I ask one more question?
If it's very quick, because we're actually over time.
In the same pastime, it's described that in one of the purports, Prabhupada says that the Lord is not interested with the motive, but is interested with the service.
Not with the?
Motive.
Motive.
Yeah. It seems to be.
Yeah, because why are you doing something? It doesn't matter. It's service to please Him. So that you want to do this and get it done and show people how great you are. He doesn't care about that. It's that you've done it to please Him. So He's known as Saragrahi Janardana. He takes the essence. So you've done the service to please Him. Then anything else is there, your attachment to and this and that, He doesn't look at. But He reciprocates according to how you surrender. So you've done that service, He reciprocates that. Now that part that's mundane, or the mixed part of the devotion, then that won't be reciprocated in the devotional way. That'll be by the material, you perform this activity, you had the right attitude, you get this nice, you know, mechanically was right attitude, you get mechanically the good result, and the attitude-wise the good result, and the bhakti. Now let's say I do the bhakti, mechanically it's right, attitude's wrong, I'll get the results of bad attitude. So I arranged the festival, it was perfect. But my attitude, I was a bit snarky or this or that, and so I get a reaction. No one appreciated it. Even though you get the benefit of the devotion, and the mechanics worked out perfectly. Or you have the person who's devotional, great attitude, not very good skill. Everybody appreciates, you know, like this and that, but, you know, they try to help out next time to make sure it's a little better in the results. You know, he's a nice guy, but You understand? So everything, wherever the level, Krishna reciprocates on the level that you're dealing. Mechanics gets mechanical. The qualities get result in qualities, and devotion gets a result in devotion. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. So end here. Jai Gruntaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivarinda ki, Jai Natai Gaur Premanandi.